Historically, change has not been welcome at Augusta National Golf Club, site of the Masters, which began on Thursday. The club, which was established in 1933, admitted women for the first time just 2 years ago. But this week, USA Today columnist Christine Brennan found intimations of, dare we call it, progress? Christine, welcome back to Only a Game.
My pleasure, Bill. Thank you.
Of the activity you witnessed last Sunday at Augusta, you wrote, female golfers had taken over the place. Explain, please.
Yes, Augusta, in conjunction with the USGA and the PGA of America, came up with a competition called Drive, Chip, and Putt. And they came up with champions, and then they brought 44 girls and 44 boys to Augusta National to compete on the grounds, the hallowed grounds of Augusta, including putting from the spot where Adam Scott sank a big putt in his journey to victory last year.
Mm-hmm.
It was equal in all ways. I mean, for the first time ever, girls had equal billing on the course with boys, something that would have been unthinkable even 2 years ago. So it's an effort not just to show that Augusta has entered the 20th century before too much more of the 21st went by, but also I think it's this effort to grow the game because, frankly, golf is hemorrhaging participants, and of course, inviting girls and women to play at the venerable Augusta National is certainly one way to show that the sport is welcoming to 51% of the population.
As I mentioned, the club admitted women for the first time just 2 years ago. Has that changed everything for anybody but Condoleezza Rice?
It's changed because there are now women, you know, and that's the good news, right? Now, 2 out of 300 plus or whatever it is, we don't know the exact numbers. You know, that's not exactly a great percentage, but it's a start. You know, Condi Rice is having the time of her life here. She, of course, is an avid golfer. She shows up everywhere, avid sports fan. You know, she's at the Women's Final Four. She's on the committee to pick the college football playoff teams starting this coming season. So she's everywhere and really has become, Bill, the face of the course. Last year, she was this force. Everywhere you went, she was there greeting fans, greeting other members. Very visible, very smart move, by the way, on the part of Billy Payne, and who's the chairman of Augusta National. You know, okay, now you've got women, and you've got this very famous woman, former Secretary of State. Let's let the world see that we have her. And I think that's why there is progress, because they do understand that they were far behind the times.
In a recent USA Today story, you speculated as follows: as Augusta goes, so goes the golf industry. Why is that?
Well, because it's the high time that these guys, and mostly it is men, decided that capitalism could trump sexism. But over the years, it was amazing to me to watch this. And as you may know, in 1999, my first trip down here as a columnist for USA Today, I asked a question, just, do you have any women members? And this sent shockwaves, apparently. And all I did was journalism 101. I asked a simple question. And we were off on the Hootie Johnson, Martha Burke thing, and, you know, on and on it went. Now that Augusta has realized, boy, we need to have some women members, I would love to say it's altruism, but I do think it's a cry for help from the golf industry. All the club makers, all the apparel makers, all the people who are building golf courses that have been plowed under because of the economy. Golf is not a sport on the rise. It is a sport on the decline. So Augusta needs to show people, hey, women are welcome, because that is the demographic. That's the growth industry. Women and girls are the untapped market.
U.S. Golf Association President Thomas J. O'Toole acknowledged this week that his game, quote, has a significant legacy of exclusion and elitism, and that golf has not been welcoming. How else will Mr. O'Toole and others address this legacy beyond staging contests for children at Augusta?
It's a fascinating question, and I'm not so sure that it's going to work. And I tend to be a very optimistic person, and I wish them well. But I don't know. For example, experts have talked about things like daycare, so that young moms can take their kids and put them in daycare and go play a few holes. How about a round of golf that is 3 holes or a round of golf that is 6 holes? And you're laughing, right? And I'm smiling too. But very few people, especially young women, have time to go play 18 holes of golf. Frankly, it's hard to find time to play 9 holes of golf. I played golf. My dad made sure that his daughters as well as his son would be adept at playing golf and feel welcome on a golf course. And I haven't hit a golf ball except on a driving range with my niece and nephew in 2 or 3 years. I can't make the time to play golf. That's fine. I'm not missing it, and it's not missing me. But but the reality is golf is going to have to change in fundamental ways, Bill, and it's a fascinating conversation. Because, again, the options that are there, especially because of Title IX for girls and women, are you kidding me? Okay, that sport is slow, takes too long, old. It's my grandfather's sport. It's too lily white. It's too male dominant. Whatever the argument would be about golf, I'm going to go find, you know, 15 other sports to play. That's why they have to think outside the box. But they've been so loath to do that as an industry, and the country club set especially. I just don't know how it happens.
Christine Brennan writes about golf, among other things, for USA Today. Christine, thank you very much.
Bill, my pleasure. Thanks again.